Greetings, this is James Gillen with the As You Wish Talk Radio. We're simulcasting with BBS Network and BBS Broadcasting. You can go to bbsradio.org to listen to that on the As You Wish, or you can go to the eSETI Stargate on YouTube, where you can actually interact with the people here during the interview. So that's a little better venue. There's a little more going on there. But, you know, if you want to do a major interaction, we're all in there usually, depending, you know, unless I have something else I have to do, like a workshop or a class or something else. But anyway, I'm usually in there. There's so much going on. I don't even know where to start. I mean, I know our guests tonight will have some major insights into all of this. But, you know, we just went through the Lionsgate and just a flood of energy coming in. And we can talk about how this affects everybody here on the earth and what's happening in the news and Epstein and all of their nonsense going on, QAnon being banned, but we can cover all of these. My guest tonight, we've got Aaron Kuhn, and he's a researcher and activist in the Disclosure Awakened community. He was a devout Christian for most of his life until he was 25 years old when he had his awakening. Through a question and researching anything and everything, he came across people like David Icke, David Wilcox, Jordan Maxwell, Doris Cannon, Project Camelot, and others. He started putting the pieces together about ETs, what's really going on our planet, our true history, the true nature of reality. And we also have his co-host here. We've got Tyler Kawala, and he's an experiencer, independent researcher, and passionate disclosure activist, most popularly known in the Awakening community as Journey to Truth podcast, hosted by himself and fellow disclosure activist Aaron Kuhn. Together, they have created a platform for discussing any and all controversial and eye-opening topics without limitations in an effort to spread awareness to the masses. So without any further ado, I want to welcome Aaron and Tyler to the show. Are you guys with us?
Yeah, how's it going?
How's it going?
Oh, going great. Still recovering from all these shifts of energy and the conference here and everything else. It's just it hasn't stopped. I mean, we just had 150 people come here just for a Skywatch weekend.
Oh, wow.
It's still kind of going crazy up here, but
is that a typical amount of people for a Skywatch?
Yeah. A lot of non-physical ones here too as well. So a little of both.
Nice.
But anyway, I'd love to, maybe before we start, I know you guys were here for the conference. I was wondering how your experience was, some of the things you saw while you were here, or either one of you can go in or both together, however you want to work it.
Yeah, well, I'm Tyler Kawala, by the way, just for whoever doesn't know me, just so you can put a name with a voice. But yeah, Aaron and I were both there for eSETI. And as soon as we got there, you can feel the energy. I like how Corey Good describes it. You almost feel like you're a little buzzed or drunk almost. So that actually took a lot more getting used to than I was even anticipating. And I should have known when we got there and the guy at the front gate even warns you about the energy. So it was really interesting. But the UFOs, obviously we saw those every night, and everybody knows that who's been to eSETI. I had my own personal Sasquatch experience almost every day I was there, so that was really interesting. And Aaron, I know you got there way early before the conference started, so you got to explore the land without anybody even being there yet, so that was pretty cool. And it's probably, go ahead and tell us about that too.
I got there on the second, like the morning of the second, and there weren't many people there yet, so it was really cool. I had a nice day to just kind of chill and explore the ranch and talk to people and really just get settled into the ranch and before all the people started showing up, so it was really nice. I meditated at the medicine wheel for a while, and it was amazing. But like Tyler said, as soon as I got there, I could just feel the energy and it felt amazing. And I immediately knew this place was special, you know, as soon as I got there.
Yeah, we've had a couple that was just here and this last weekend, and they saw I think it was nine Sasquatch or Bigfoot, whatever you want to call them, but they saw nine of them walk right by them. And four or five days before that, they saw two, the same group, you know, saw two, but there's about six of them, six people together in that group, and they saw two of them. So there was other sightings that were, different people here on the ranch. So it was a busy weekend. It's been a past busy 3 weeks for Bigfoot hanging around here. And, you know, and he does come and he likes the organic apples and peanut butter, and they do like to, you know, make their presence known, and they've been calling out quite a bit lately.
Yeah, it was totally incredible. I actually can't wait to book another trip back out there. It's definitely
Same. It was amazing. Yeah. Man, James, just the activity there alone is just incredible. Just every night.
I just went up with John Vivanco, and he has Right Hemisphere, the remote viewers. And we hiked all over that area at the very top of the mountain up there. We went as high as you can get on the road, and then where the road stops, there's all the burned out forest, and then there's nothing above that. There are absolutely no roads. The terrain is treacherous. It's like straight up and down, and it's real extreme. You know, the hikers even go on the east side over there. They hike the east side because it's a much more gradual slope and it's easier to traverse. And so we filmed that whole area and walked that area. And we're going to go back and do one more, you know, to prove without a shadow of a doubt that there are no trails up there. There's no roads up there. Nobody really hikes up there. All the hiking's done on the east side. And the lights that we're filming on the mountain, just the colors, the intensity, the size of these lights and everything else, they're not due to any human origin.
Oh yeah, I mean that should be obvious.
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
Just looking at it alone, but yeah, that's awesome that you guys can even prove that by that. That's amazing.
Yeah, we also used I'm brain farting on his name, but he brought up this on our website. He brought up his gear called Weapons of Mass Detection. And Freeman, Rob
nice.
Freeman.
Rob Freeman.
And he had the most expensive, like, military thermal, night vision, everything.
Really?
On his gear. And he was observing those lights moving around the mountain. He said, first of all, no hiker could traverse that, you know, land the way these lights are moving around up there. He said, second of all, there's no heat signature. So it's not a person, you know, with a headlamp or anything else.
Yeah.
And third of all, he said the light is like starlight. And
really?
It's not. Yeah, he said it's not the spectrum that we usually see, you know, if it's a man-made, any kind of man-made light.
Yeah.
And that was his conclusion. He says, well, all I can say is there's no explanation for this. This is unknown. You know, I can tell you without a shadow of a doubt, it's not a camper, it's not a hiker, it's, you know, it's none of the above. And he said it goes into the unknown category.
And James, one of the things I noticed about being there, about you, which I thought was awesome, was that you've been there for what, 33 years now, is that correct?
Yeah. Uh-huh.
And you know, you see this stuff every day. And I noticed, one of the things I noticed was your excitement level when you saw another UFO, just like you were seeing it the first time. So I thought that was really cool. That's a telltale sign that there's a reason that you're the one who's there owning that land.
Yeah, I get excited for other people's experiences because when I find them, I go, right there, look, you know, and I want other people to see these, you know, because, I mean, there's so much nonsense out there. People are saying that these are satellites and that these are meteors, you know, and they're saying that these ships we're filming are birds, you know, and we figured out these things are going like 1,830 miles an hour. You film them in slow motion, you know, these people say those are hawks, you know, those are peregrine falcons. You know, we've heard everything, and we just go, you know, you guys, we have scientists here that are doing the research that are are doing the calculation to figure out, you know, the luminosity, the speed, all these things. And you guys are sitting in your armchair just throwing out, you know, slanderous assumptions, you know, where's your research? Where's your base common sense, you know?
Yeah, well, they're not interested in finding out the truth. They're just interested in reinforcing their own, you know, narrative and their own beliefs. So people like that, they're going to discredit no matter what and throw out anything that supposedly debunks, you know, whether it makes sense or not. Because, you know, when you're set in stone on your belief system, you know, you're not going to allow the truth to come through at all. So. That's what people do like that.
Yeah, you've also got the shills. You know, you've got the people, they're paid to do that.
Oh, yeah.
Planned opposition. Those guys are there to control the narrative and keep the attention off of everybody else. And you've got that, you know, in the field as well.
Oh, yeah. It's rife with people like that. Absolutely.
Yeah, have you guys experienced the same thing? You know, being with the disclosure movements and all the other stuff, I'm sure you've experienced a lot of the same energy.
Oh, yeah.
100%.
Oh, yeah.
I swear, like one time I was being attacked. Like this guy was just not leaving me alone. He started off on Facebook, then he started private messaging me, and like he was calling me out. And it was like, this is just unreal. Like this isn't even normal behavior. And it was, I know, so it was just, yeah, I've experienced it, definitely.
Yeah, you can't even have a conversation with these people because they have but one agenda, and that's just to take you down, and they're going to use personal attacks. You can use
discrediting.
Everything.
Yeah.
Yeah, to try to discredit you, and I've seen a lot of that too, and they just establish their own ignorance and character when they do that.
My favorite thing you said, like you were out in the Skywatch field, and you point and say, hey, you see that? And then they look, and you turn around and walk away. Whenever you don't want to do it.
That's a fun one. When it's dark out there, you know, you get the naysayers and the people that are really negative and closed-minded. And it's so funny because it's dark out there. And you just go, oh, what's that? And they turn around. You just walk away. They don't know where you went. You know, it's pretty funny.
Yeah, I laughed at that. That's pretty good.
That gets a message to them, you know, exactly where you're at. Just say, I don't. You know, I'm not here to prove anything to anybody. I'm just sharing something, and I really don't care whether you, you know, absorb it or not, you know, but it's in your face. The evidence is overwhelming, and it's not something that happened in the past, like 60 years ago, and you're still trying to prove it's real. It's ongoing. It's still here, and people can come up and get their own photographs, have their own experience, and get their own video footage.
Yeah, that's another thing. All the footage that people just normal everyday people get when they come out there, it's just overwhelming. Like you said, we don't like to talk about Stephen Greer, but one thing he did say was, it's an embarrassment of riches how much evidence we have on this UFO subject, which is a very true statement.
You know, it is true, and you know what's funny is that. I think the people that try to make fun of it, like, you know, the news anchors and all the other, you know, people that are trying to make fun of this and saying it doesn't exist. Now, the numbers are with us, with the people that have seen this, that do believe and things like that, because I think they've had time CNN polls, and it was in the high 80s, 90% of the people believe that UFOs are real and there's a government cover-up, and they did one in Texas, after that big flyover in Texas, they did a poll. 99% of the people that called into that poll said, you know, UFOs are real, you know, and it's being covered up. So to me, it's like, you know, these guys that are making fun of this and the lamestream media, you know, those guys now end up looking really stupid when they do that.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
It's inevitable. I mean, it's just... You know, we know that the truth is the truth. It's already out there. It's just everything has to play out on the surface level until people start waking up to the reality, essentially.
Yeah. There's one thing I've seen in this field, and it kind of blows my mind, but it's in the planned opposition category. And I've seen people that are shaking their fists at the government and the elite and the people trying to censor all this stuff, and they're actually controlling the narrative. And then they go and they're arm in arm with these same people. They're hanging out with the Podestas, the Rockefellers, all these other
Clintons.
People.
And
the Clintons, and you just go, and they're saying, oh, we would have had disclosure by now if the Clintons would have won. And you hear all this stuff, and you just go, are you serious?
You're like yeah, really?
Well, yeah, you're the top seriously? Of the food chain here. You're the main spokesman for ufology, and you're hanging out with these folks, and
yeah, it's unbelievable.
And speaking of that, when you go into the pedophile stuff with Epstein and things like that, it's a tight-knit group. They're all together. I'm curious, what are your guys' feelings about Epstein and what's going on there?
Oh, man.
Oh, where
do you start?
Yeah, exactly.
Go ahead.
No, you go ahead. Go ahead.
Well, I was looking at like the evidence. Basically, they had all these neck bones are broken.
Yes.
The way you break those neck bones is you jump off a ladder, or you jump off a bridge or something when you hang yourself. They said out of I think 249 cases, only two neck bones were broken in such a way, and those were people that really did a good job of hanging themselves. So to me, to tie your a sheet around your neck to an upper bunk and then hang yourself, that doesn't fit in. The other thing is that the first time that supposedly
suicide,
he was strangled. He said he was strangled. And then in his meetings with his lawyers, they were sure that they could do a double jeopardy thing and get him off on all this stuff, because they already tried him once. And he was in really good spirits, and he was very arrogant about, I'll walk out of here in no time, everything dropped, because he had all his connections and everything. So nothing makes sense as far as suicide or him hanging himself. I mean, I think that one's out the door right there.
Well, the great part about it, though, is that it's such a ridiculous cover story that it's almost like it's red-pilled so many people that are not into any conspiracy, anything, or any of this stuff. Don't know any of the any of the stuff, because I'm seeing so many people. They're like, they normally just believe the mainstream narrative, right? And they're all like, "There's no way he committed suicide. Somebody killed him." Blah blah blah.
Maybe it was set up intentionally by the Alliance to do.
Yeah, because if you think about it, it's brilliant, because then it gets everyone questioning the mainstream narrative and everyone looking into Epstein, looking into the situation, because they know there's something else going on here.
Well, what has Corey Good been saying? He things are going to play out in a way to where you have no choice but to believe what's going on. Like, you won't even be able to be a skeptic, because it's going to become so obvious, and that's what we're seeing play out right now.
We're already seeing it happen. Yeah. Totally.
Well, I kind of came to the same conclusion as that, because you look at the guards were missing, nobody was there, the cameras mysteriously weren't working. Everybody knew that was going to happen, and then it happened exactly the way everybody was saying it was going to happen. But there's so many holes in that theory that they're trying to push, the lamestream media, that it is, like you're saying, it's getting everybody to start questioning them and who owns them and what the game is. And this whole thing that he was involved in, that whole pedophile thing and all the other stuff they were doing there, is so replete throughout all the music and movie industry, and includes the news industry and the major corporate owners that sponsor all those things. So of course they're going to totally control that narrative and try to sell us a story that, they might as well have had Disney write that one, because it's one of the fantasies I've ever seen.
Yeah, maybe Disney did write it.
They did have the submarine rides and all the other stuff there,
Yeah,
so,
speaking of Disney,
which involved a lot of children.
Well, that's one of the biggest things, too, is people, I think that's going to be one of the most shocking things for the public, for the masses, is it when this stuff really does start surfacing. The amount of people, celebrities, people that they trusted and loved and idolized are gonna be exposed, and it's really gonna. I think that's gonna crush a lot of people more than we talk about. I think that's gonna be one of the biggest factors.
Yeah, I agree. I was meditating once, and I had a couple near death experiences, and one was at 5 years old with Mary. Actually, saved my life. And I wanted to do a disclaimer. Mary's not Catholic. She's a universal being and here for all the children. But
yeah,
and I'm not Catholic either. But I've had a close connection with Mary all my life, and she's always looked over me. And she was telling me, she said that this whole pedophile thing is going to take down this whole network, the whole tyranny network, this draconian grid that we've been under.
Mm-hmm.
It's going to be taken down because of what they're doing to the children. And now we're seeing it. Now we're seeing it happen.
That's exactly what we're seeing happen right now. Yep.
Every day. It's overwhelming. Yeah. It's actually hard to keep up with what's happening right now. If you're a journalist, it's like, my God, it's never ending.
And the lamestream media, like the CNN, the Clinton News Network, or whatever, yes. Those guys, it's unbelievable. You hear what they're saying, you're going, how could? And they're so passionate about what they're saying. They have this fake outrage and all the stuff they're doing, and you're going, you guys are charismatic professional liars. That's what. You should get an award, the most charismatic professional liar on the planet.
Yeah.
And on top of that, it's like what they've done with social programming to people. And I find it really sad is people actually believe them. They believe that the story, the narrative, and it's almost in every case exactly opposite of what is really happening.
Yeah. Well, I think the reason because they play on people's emotions, so they know what's going to get people on the left fired up or angry or whatever, and they play to that, and they know, and then the people on the right the same thing, and they that's kind of how it works. It's like it has nothing to do with facts, or to us that are awake and that actually do our own research and know what's really going on, generally it's obvious to us that it's just BS and propaganda.
Well, it's a giant game for him. Like, I always imagine, like, a reptilian sitting in his desk with his feet, sitting in a chair with his feet on his desk, smoking a cigar, watching a big screen of the entire world just laughing,
And he's feeding off the energy, too, directly. Yeah, the division game that's going on right now. And
yeah.
I'm really blown away how a lot of people that you would think were, they claim to be good spiritual people or religious people or things like that. And they're buying into this whole division game. And, they've got the race card thing going on. They've got the gender card thing going on. And they're just like, then they have the predatory thing going on, the sexual predatory thing going on, all this stuff that they're trying to run. And the guys that are running these programs are it's like, they're the worst as far as all of this going down. They're the worst perpetrators of all of this. And they're the ones being the predators because they're preying on everybody's emotions for their own fame and notoriety and money, basically, and power and money. They're the real predators. And they're saying, look out for the predators. But it's the predators that are saying, look out for the predators.
Yeah.
Yeah, exactly. Their goal is, and it works, is to get people in a debate to where they lose their mind. They get so angry with the opposing party, they become furious, and that's the energy that they thrive off of. So just something to keep in mind for anybody listening, just going through your everyday life. Like when you find yourself getting in a situation like that or getting angry about anything, you're literally feeding them. So it's so important to practice. Just go inward and practice meditation and anything, just a spiritual journey. Because once you start walking around with that positivity, you just take everything away from them.
Yeah, I should practice loving detachment. It's good to be awake and aware of what's going on. I think that's really important, but if you can't observe it, without loving detachment, then they got you, and they
yeah.
I really do think they feed off of that energy. They feed off of the chaos and all the division going on and the anger, you know.
Yeah.
And so it's actually keeping their world intact. And, you know, they're they're definitely not creating heaven on earth. You know, they're creating something else. And and yeah. they don't realize they're being used. You know, their own emotions and their own wounds and traumas and wrong conclusions or past experience are being used against them to manipulate them and to keep, you know, feeding this other world, these other energies.
Yeah. And absolutely. It took me a long time to get to the understanding of what we're talking about, because that's part of this oppression. You know, we're not supposed to, they don't want you to understand any of this stuff and how our energy and emotion works. That's why, like Neera Isley talks about a lot, like we're not taught about our emotions ever growing up. Like we're never taught about how to handle our emotions. If anything, we're taught to suppress them. And then when we do that, then we have these outrages, these you know, explosions. And it's just something that really people really need to start understanding on a deeper level.
Yeah, exactly. You know, there. What I say, you know, if you want to get through these times, you know, everything is speeding up and being amplified and accelerated. And so we have to slow down and we have to slow ourselves down, you know, breathe, get out in nature, you know, get yourself into a good pranayama yoga class or get yourself out in nature and meditate. You know, find a good process-oriented therapist. You know, that can go transdimensionally and, you know, take care of any past life trauma and things like that as well. And, you know, we're really going to have to focus on self-mastery right now if we're going to get through these times.
100%. Absolutely. Or, you know, 100%. They could do any of the above what you said, or they can just book a trip to Isetti. That'll help too.
Yeah. Crash course.
Yeah.
Yes. I tell people, I said, you know, people come here and they go, I just love this place. This is like home. And they feel the high frequency and the energy here. And you know, like a lot of people say, I feel like I'm almost drunk in spirit or something like that. They don't know what's going on. And then I said, well, wait about 3 days. And they go, what do you mean? I said, well, all that energy you're feeling right now is going to bring up everything else that doesn't align with it. Yep. And so it's a golden opportunity to process this and heal it, and there's all kinds of to release this, or you can go into projection and blame mode and go nowhere. You know, that's the most disempowering role you can get into, and unfortunately that's what all these other people are holding people in, these really disempowering roles where they're you know, they're in that blame and projection mode and these big movements, you know, against this and against that and everything else. And the leaders of these movements are so messed up. You know, they're not focused on healing. You know, they're focusing on getting even, you know, and perpetuating the problem, really, and getting vengeance. You know, it's just like, and you see this and you go, God, where's the love? You know, where's the unity? Where's the higher ideals in these movements? You know, and they're seriously lacking in those movements.
So how do you think this energy coming in now is affecting those people? Because the Earth just got blasted with, they said, the highest energy protons ever recorded. Like, and scientists don't know why a black hole spewed all this super bright white light. So how do you think, I know I was affected by it it had a positive effect. I was buzzing around with energy all week, but I know people around me, I noticed the opposite. So I'm just wondering what your thoughts were.
Well, definitely, you know, the whole electromagnetic light spectrum is off the scale right now, and it's increasing. And this is NASA stuff. They finally released it. You know, the cosmic rays, everything is just off the scale. The Schumann resonance is off the scale. It's gone up to 1,000, you know, it should be at 7.8. And it's, you know, it was at 14 just a little while ago. I don't even know what it is now, but it's all over the place. And so, and we have these big blasts like the one that just happened, and it affects the bioelectric fields around the body, and it puts people into process. And it can get you really high and give you all this excess energy to work with, but you got to dump the baggage, you know. So if you're carrying a lot of sadness or fear or anger or things like that from past experiences, that's going to come up too. And again, most people aren't really into their self-mastery, and they're going to go into projection and blame. I saw it here last weekend where people just got into their stuff and they're making all flipping out and going into stuff. And I go, that has no basis in reality. Matter of fact, yeah. What's really happened is exactly the opposite. And you can't get them. You can't unlock them from that. They need to be right, and they're a victim, and they need to project and blame, you know, and you go, well, wait a second. Why don't you take a minute and reframe that and look at it differently? You know, try to look at it differently. You know, maybe what you're seeing is you're coming from a place where this has happened in the past. You know, ask yourself, where has this ever happened in the past? You know, what kind of energies am I experiencing now? Does this match up to what is unfolding around me, you know? It's kind of rough to get through that. But I know, you know, some people will go, yeah, you're right. This has happened to me many times. I guess I need to finally own this and heal it and things like that. And then other people will just not let go. They really need to be right. And they're holding on to these traumas, you know, with a vengeance. And you know, there's some people, the people that are walking around with those big red buttons, you can't help but push, you know,
yeah.
to get them through it. Well, those buttons are being pushed by nature itself, you know, by the shift. And so, and that's what I noticed. A lot of people are just taking off with this and doing, they're letting it propel them into higher consciousness and energy. And then some people are just really acting out their stuff, you know, and going into blame and projection mode.
Mm-hmm.
Do you think they
haven't done the inner work yet?
Yeah.
To heal. Yeah. So they're just projecting and blaming and.
Yeah. I've seen a roller coaster too, where one minute they're projecting and blaming, and then next minute they go, oh, I shouldn't have done that. It's my stuff. And they're going back and forth, you know?
Oh, yeah. Yeah. Then they feel bad, and then they do it again. And then, yeah.
Now, how much of that do you think has to do with soul contract? Like, some people come here. From my understanding, and you know, they're not supposed to go through this awakening. They're supposed to, you know, they're supposed to create the balance. So maybe there's a reason that they're not understanding what you're explaining, James. What do you think about that?
Yeah, I began, you know, I used to really think everybody can get it. Everybody's going to wake up, you know, everybody's going to make their own personal connection with God or Creator, Great Spirit, whatever you want to call it, you know, and that everybody wants knowledge. You know, they really want the truth in their heart of hearts. You know, I really would focus on that. And I hold that to some, I still hold that to some degree, but I just realized there's some people out there that this just may not be their time. You know, it's not within what the path they've chose, you know, this time around. And there's a lot of people that incarnated for this. And they incarnated from these higher realms to be the ground crew to get this moving, you know, to get this happening. And so, you know, it's like, I tell people it's like wood, you know, some people are wet wood. You can throw all the matches you want on them and nothing's going to happen. And some people are dry wood and you can burn it, but you have to, you know, use a little kindling and things to get it going, you know, a little assistance. And then you've got people that are just kindling. You just throw a match and they boom, you know, they ignite.
Yeah.
And they're ready, you know, they're ready to go. So you know, everybody's different and you just never know who's going to trigger, who's going to pop and all of a sudden just get it.
Exactly. That's why it's so important. That's why it's, don't worry about, because so many people get caught up in the reactions of other people when they're, you know, speaking about things. And it's like, don't worry about that. Everyone's in a different place. Everyone's going to react from wherever they're at in their path. Just do your work and focus on yourself and do what you know to be right and what needs to be done and said. And the people that are ready for it, they're gonna respond and they're gonna Yeah, they're going to be the ones to really
thrive
from it. Yeah.
Yeah. Well, I really believe in universal law, and I believe that when you step out of universal law, you're going to have problems and situations, and karma works. You know, it may take a little while to catch up, but it does work. And if you're not empowering others and assisting others and helping others, if you're focused on, you know, overpowering others and taking and greed and all the other nonsense, you know, that has consequences, and it's going to have a reaction. So, you know, I always tell people, you know, there's three kinds of business. You know, there's your business, other people's business, and God's business. You know, other people's business is God's business, you know.
Exactly.
So, and let karma do its thing. Karma works, you know. It's a universal law. It works. You know, it's just, you know, and also, it doesn't mean you sit back and do nothing. I mean, that might be your karma to come and expose some of this stuff and bring the truth and the light and everything else. That might be a choice. It doesn't mean you sit back and do anything, but you know, you just don't get freaked out and caught up in this stuff. And
focusing inwardly is really the most important thing. And then you live out of that place. Most people are so focused on only the external, and they're trying to live from that place, and they completely ignore their internal world. So they've got all this trauma and all this stuff that they haven't dealt with, that they're just completely ignoring, but they're reacting from that place. So, you know, and they're living unconsciously is a good way to put it, because they don't understand why, you know, they're just reacting to everything. They don't understand where it's coming from. They don't know they have all this stuff they haven't dealt with and all this crap that's causing this. And as soon as you turn your focus inwardly, it's painful and it's hard at first, but when you deal with it, then you can release it, and then you can heal yourself, and then you're no longer reacting from that place, and you can live more consciously, you know.
Yeah, you have to go through your dark night, you know, your dark night of the soul. Yeah, you got to get through that, and then on the other side, then you can. But you know what I understand is that there's two minds. You know, there's reactionary mind and creationary mind.
Yes.
And if you're in reactionary mind, you're just being totally manipulated by your environment, everything external, the social, you know, conditioning, everything.
Exactly.
Because you're in reactionary mind. If you find your center and your creationary mind, you're creating your reality. You're creating the world you want to live in. You're not attached to all this stuff happening around you. And that's what I always tell people. You got to get out of reactionary mind. And you got to find out why you're reacting. You know, what is it in you that's creating this emotional response and reaction? And how strong is that reaction? If it's intense, then you've got some intense stuff you got to process and deal with.
Yeah, how to process your triggers, you know, what triggers you.
Yeah.
Touching on what you said about the karma earlier, I was having a conversation with somebody who's a hardcore Christian, and I was talking to him about karma, and he was like, he was looking at me like I was kind of crazy, and like he was listening to me, but he wasn't taking it in. I was like, what? And he's like, he goes I thought karma was just like a Buddhist thing. Like, he didn't even believe, like, and I was like, no, it really exists. It has nothing to do with,
Well, isn't there a saying, like, as you sow, so shall you reap, you know?
I mean, it's the same thing.
Yeah.
It's easy.
You reap what you sow,
Look at the teachings of Buddha and the teachings of Jesus, and actually Jesus did study in India and Tibet and things like that. But if you look at those teachings, I mean, they can lay right on top of each other.
It's the same,
It's just all reincarnation.
It's just all the dogma that got put, you know, around Jesus that created, you know.
People go, you're not a Christian or whatever. I said, you know, I love Jesus, but I know his real teachings.
And
I wish they would teach them in church, you know, the real
teachings.
And you know, he goes, when you said John is Elijah who was to come, how can you not take that other than the prophet Elijah reincarnated as John? It's so obvious. And there's all these other sayings in there too that they that nobody gets. And there's, I mean, I can go on this.
Yeah, but, one of my favorites is Jesus says, if your eye is single, your body will be full of light. And
yeah.
It's pretty obvious that, you know, he's talking about the pineal gland, right?
Yeah, 100%.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, like, what else? Come on. Like, it's funny because it's right there, but, you know, I grew up hardcore Christian. My family was still very Christian. And I remember reading that and hearing about that passage, and I don't remember what we're told he meant, but I know it didn't even make sense to me at the time. I'm like, that doesn't make any sense. And then later on when I heard David Wilcock explain it, and I'm like, oh,
we said ye are God's children of the Most High, you know, and then Meister Eckhart talks about how nut seeds produce nut trees and pear trees produce pear seeds produce pear trees. And God, he goes, what do God seeds produce? You know, and he keeps saying the temple is within, and, you know, it's an internal, you know, it's closer. They go, where's God? Closer than the hair on your head. How can it be closer than the hair on your head if it wasn't within you, you know?
Exactly.
So, I mean, they miss the whole point of what he's trying to teach. And you know, he's teaching that, you know, the one consciousness that encompasses all consciousness and all planes and dimensions throughout the multiverse is within you. When you expand, you go within, the temple is within. When you expand in consciousness and awareness, you become one with the source, whatever you want to call it. And they totally miss that. It's in his teachings, but they have the external, you know, bearded God that they keep pushing, this external bearded God, which comes from the ancient Anunnaki, you know, which is another whole show in itself. But it doesn't mean there isn't a God. It just means, you know, the Old Testament had this jealous, wrathful, genocidal maniac, and the New Testament has this all-loving, you know, the New Covenant, which was the all-loving, all-forgiving God.
Yeah.
And you go, well, who were these guys? And wait a second, either God's totally schizophrenic,
but God's never changing,
and bipolar.
Or
there was two different beings that they're talking about here. And so when you really do the research, you find out that there were many bearded gods here, and some were tyrants and some were benevolent. But who created them? You know, it's like,
exactly. But none of them were God. Yep.
No.
Yeah.
No, they were demigods, and yeah, there were the demigods, which were the offspring of the bearded gods, you know, which were actually ancient Lyrians, and that might upset some people, but that's where they came from, the ancient Anunnaki. Mm-hmm. They're the really ancient Lyrians, boy, I mean, getting this across to a totally hypnotized, brainwashed society, you know, that thinks they're living in eternal sin because a woman took a bite out of an apple or whatever.
Yeah.
Or gave a man an apple. You know, where do you go with that? You go, well, you know, that, you know, I didn't give the guy the apple. Why am I in eternal sin? I could never figure this one out, you know?
Well, the loopholes in that story are so obvious to begin with, if you really break it down. So it's funny, you know, and people just, well, that's part of the programming. We people just believe in, you know, they don't question what they're told. You know, we're taught to never question authority. Well, in a sense, religion is an authority, in these people's lives. So they're going to question it.
And when you grow up in the church, like I did, your identity is attached to that. And you're so emotionally invested in that narrative that you just defend it at all costs, and that's what I used to do. I just would shut down anyone and everyone that would try to debunk anything or show me holes or anything. I'm just like, nope, I have the truth. Until one day it just hit me out of nowhere one day. I'm like, what am I doing? Why do I believe this? It's just been handed to me, you know?
Yeah. I'm curious. Have you ever read the Lord's Prayer in Aramaic?
No.
Yeah, you should Google that. It'll it'll blow your mind. The original Lord's Prayer, it talks about, oh, cosmic birther of all things, and it gives a whole different,
Really?
I think it gives more of a truthful perspective on what might have happened.
Yeah, it doesn't show it as male or female. It doesn't even give it a form. It just says cosmic birther of all things, and it just goes on and on. And beautiful. It's very beautiful and very very uplifting. And the words have been changed so much, you know, throughout the Bible. Like they didn't have a word for side. So they said that man, you know, woman was born out of the rib of man. Well, that lost the translation from, you know, Hebrew to Greek. And the ancient text, what they said was woman was born at the side of man, like they were created side by side, not out of a piece of man. And that gives you a whole different, you know, about that. So
go ahead. Sorry. I was just going to say
there's so many translations and things in there that you really, if you knew the real history of Earth and then read the Bible, you go, oh, that's what happened.
Yeah.
It makes sense.
Yeah.
But it doesn't if you do it superstitiously.
Yeah. And like you said, so many of the translations are so off or misleading that when you go back and read the original text, you're like, wait a second. That's not, it doesn't mean what we're taught it means or what the translation says.
Well, you know, you read Ezekiel, there's a shiny disc comes out of the firmament, you know.
Yeah.
It has bronze feet like calves. It has fire and brimstone coming out from underneath it. When it lands, it sounds like 1,000 rushing rivers. I mean, an encounter. I mean, and then they say, supposedly God steps out of this thing and orders 10 of his men with their shattering weapons to go destroy all the men, women, and children of Israel. Well, I mean, there's your wrathful God right there. You know, that's the origin of the wrathful God. And and until people realize that, they're always going to fear God.
Well, am I mistaken, or did the original text actually have God as plural, gods? And it was
like, Elohim.
Elohim
is plural.
Means the mighty ones, right?
Yeah, so it was, I mean, that in itself should tell you everything you need to know.
Yeah, exactly.
If you drop the S, it changes everything.
I want to get on a different subject. I mean, you're talking about some of the experiences you've had, some of you had experiences with some of the ETs and things like that. I'd love to hear about that. Or
Tyler, that's you.
Yeah.
Oh, well, man, I don't even know where to start. I know we're running low on time here. I'll talk about the most profound one that ever happened to me. It was at the time Corey came out talking about the Anshar and the inner earth beings. And he made it sound so simple when he was on Cosmic Disclosure. He's like, all you have to do is, you know, ask and talk to him and ask if you want contact. So I really took it seriously, and I was going into meditation every night, reaching out to them and telling them, I'm ready to do this, blah, blah, blah. I had this whole, you know, thing I did every night, and I was persistent with it, and nothing happened. One night I woke up in the middle of the night to a text that said, are you ready to meet us? And I knew immediately somehow that it was them. I don't know, something telepathically has just told me. And I said, yes. And they said, come to your back door. So I got out of bed, walked to my back door of a walkout basement, opened the door, looked around, and there was nothing out in my yard. So when I turned around, there was a tall blonde woman phasing into my basement, and the upper half of her body, she only got phased in before I literally froze in fear to the definition. And it wasn't because I was afraid of her, but I wasn't ready for her vibration. I wasn't ready to handle I was not ready for whatever I was asking for. And that was the immediate telepathic impression that I got. She was like, honey, you're not ready for this yet. I know you want to, I know you wanna have contact, but here we're showing you, you're not ready. And she phased back out. I went back in my room to go through the text like this, cause like, oh my God, I couldn't believe what happened. And the texts weren't even on my phone anymore. I called off work the next day. It was so profound, and never went back to sleep.
Yeah, I would have too.
Yeah, it was just one of the craziest things. But then I realized how much work I had to do spiritually, I guess, to get myself to a high enough vibration to even be able to encounter these beings. And that was a year or two ago now, and I still think I have a long way to go, because it's really hard to exist in this society doing what I do and focus on raising your vibration when you're constantly in the 3D world. It's difficult. So
yeah, it really is. They have so much love and compassion, and they're very, very powerful. They're extremely telepathic, and nothing's hidden. You know, they don't have any ownership or competition or jealousy or any of that stuff. It's not even part of the reality. When our frequencies hit that frequency, it brings up, you know, a lot of our stuff. And I've had those same encounters. I've had photographs. We actually have photographs of them actually phasing in and being almost physical.
That's exactly like it was. Like almost physical. Like she didn't even get a chance to finish because I freaked out. But
yeah,
that was.
Yeah, it is. You know, people come here and they said, "I want the ship on the ground. I want to land. I want to get on the ship." And one guy goes, he comes out with his check, but he goes, "What's it going to take to get me on the ship? You know, $50,000. I can write you a check right now."
No way.
And I go, it, you know what? I said, I don't know if I want you in my living room versus on a ship. I'm sorry, but I said, it doesn't work that way. You know?
Yeah.
Doesn't work
like,
that
good luck
way.
With that, man.
Yeah. Yeah. I just said, you know, I told the guy, I said, I really don't care about your money. You know, they don't either. They don't have a monetary system.
That's not even in their paradigm. Yeah.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And it's more about consciousness. You have to rise in consciousness if you're going to work with these beings. I mean, you might get a reptile or a gray, you know, and a probe to go with it if you just want to contact, you know. But if you're going to work with the benevolent ones, you know, you better start really raising your consciousness and, you know, heal the wounds and traumas, you know, from past experiences and focus on love and joy and bliss, and then you're going to be contacting the benevolent ones.
Exactly. Yeah. Contact That's comes cool. from within, right?
You should have took that $50,000 and donated it to the community and said, yeah, go sit over there. It's going to land in about 3 hours.
Oh, God. He'd have his lawyers and everybody else after me after that. You know, that's how those guys operate.
Yeah.
You took $50,000, and then it would go all over Facebook, and you know, it's like.
No, I'm just kidding.
Yeah.
No, that's already happening. It's so funny because, you know, these people out there, they have different agendas and things like that, and now the people, the controlled narrative and all that stuff, they're being exposed, and for who they hang out with and what they do and their real agendas. And And boy, they are lashing out. They're trying to destroy anybody that might be, that knows who they are, that might be able to expose them. And you know, that's one of the reasons I had Corey Good up here, because that's happening with him. Oh. I just said, well, has anybody ever sat down and talked with him? Have you listened to his story? You know, have you felt his energy? You know, have you, I mean, he doesn't want to do this stuff. He doesn't want to talk about it.
No.
You know, he'd rather be doing something else, which is a major boon on his part, you know. So I go, why, you know, rather than listen to all the gossip and the slanderous assumptions and everything else going out there, I know why they're slandering, why they're attacking him. And whether you believe in his story or not, you know, he has a right to tell his story.
Exactly.
And everybody's story has bits and pieces that may not be exactly correct. You know, this is the unknown that we're dealing with. And even, you know, channel messages, you know, some of the best channels are doing 70% maximum. So 30% is their own social conditioning and programming and other belief systems. So,
mm-hmm.
So it's just like, you know, everybody's got to use discernment and, you know, pick the gold out and decide what's true for you. And I've always been supportive of that, but talk about, you know, as soon as I gave him a platform to speak, boy, all hell broke loose. And it's still going on by the very people that I know are really not on the right side of the fence, let's say.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, it's upsetting, really.
Well, it's, as I said before, this energy coming in, you know, that we all know is coming in, they're not frequency specific to this energy. So, you know, all we have to do is sit back and enjoy the show, get some popcorn, because they're not going to do too well. And you know, karma works, and they're going to be exposed for who and what they're doing. And I believe in that. And I just keep sending them love, because it just keeps bringing everything up, you know, right up to the surface.
Exactly.
And I'm not going to join them on their level. I'm not going to get into all the.
Don't go. Yeah.
Yes.
Don't steep to their level. That's the most important thing. Stay.
Yeah.
Stay high vibe and and they'll expose themselves. They already are. Mm-hmm. I mean, and it's funny because Corey even talks about that, and then they expose themselves by attacking him.
Yeah.
Exactly. Like, so funny to me. Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah. It's unbelievable. You know, it's kind of like, you know, as I said before, they just establish their own ignorance and their own character and their own agenda.
Yeah.
And that's being seen really clearly. Hey, we're hitting the end of the hour, unfortunately, so we're going to have to wrap things up. But what's the best way for people to get in contact with you?
We have a podcast, Journey to Truth Podcast. It's available on Spotify, iTunes, SoundCloud, YouTube, and Facebook. But the best way probably would be to Facebook message either one of us if they want to be on a podcast or if they or for any reason. I would say that would be the best way for now.
Awesome. Hey, well, I can't thank you guys enough for coming on the show and also the work you're doing. Keep up the good work and, you know, keep a high note in this chaos that we're going through. And I always tell people, you know, keep an open mind, loving heart, and pure intent, and you'll get through all these shifts.
Absolutely. Yes. Just be authentic. Be authentic, and the path will present itself.
Exactly. Awesome, guys. Well, thanks a lot for coming on the show. We've got to wrap it up. James Gunn with As You Wish Talk Radio and East Eddie Stargate. Have a great evening. And watch the skies. The real disclosure is coming from the skies. Have a great evening. Good night.